Hey everybody, welcome to episode 30 of DMDR. This is Jeremy Connor. So I haven't talked to y'all since July 15th, so that's been a good couple of months plus. I had a whole bunch happen. As far as the vasectomy goes, I feel fine. I never really hurt, but I totally don't feel nothing painful down there now, which is a blessing because I was so worried about getting that damn vasectomy that I just kept putting it off. But anyway, your old buddy Jeremy got to be in a movie. That was nice. I got to be an extra in a movie called Under the Surface, and it was neat being a part of that. I'd always want to try out something like that, and pretty much, well, to be an extra in a movie, all you got to do is be willing to stand around all day, and then when you do stuff, it's the same thing over and over in different variations. In one scene, I got a wife, and another scene, I don't got a wife, and I'm by myself, and I'm walking up and down a street. Pretty much, well, just being a human prop, and hell, I can do that all day long. The kids just got over being sick. They had RSV and all that, and they just started back to school. My son started going to private school. My youngest is in preschool. The wife's working, so we're a dual-income household, which is nice. Other than that, things have been pretty good. I enjoy my job in security. I got to do a comedy show in Kentucky. A fellow named Anthony Rogers, he's got his own show on Roku. It's called the Anthony Rogers Show. You ought to give it a look at. He just interviewed Tommy Chong. I'm like, damn, that's impressive. That's about it as far as my personal life. Things have been pretty good, all in all. So today I kind of want to talk about loneliness and how it can benefit you. So I know that if you're listening and you're lonely, you're like, well, that's horseshit. Well, being able to be alone to yourself is something that you definitely need to have in your toolbox because there's things that you can accomplish right now that you'll never be able to do when you're with somebody. It's just like hobbies and things you enjoy doing. But you need to branch out over just video games and hanging around, shit like that. You need to find something that's not only fun, but it's useful in real life too, like woodworking or just hiking something. You don't want to just be a damn blob on the couch that plays video games all the time, because if you're going to be in a good relationship, you're not going to be playing video games 24/7. You might as well kiss that shit goodbye. On a good week, I'll play on the PlayStation maybe 4 hours a week, and that's being generous. Because by the time you get home, you've done spent at least 8 hours a day at work, and you don't want to use up the rest of your time ignoring your family. And it's perfectly fine to scratch out a little time to yourself to do the things you want to do. Just make sure you have those things in order of importance, because you've got to provide for your family, so you're going to have a job. Then when you get home, you don't want to brush them off completely. If you've got kids, don't even have kids if you're just going to ignore them. When they get home, be glad they're excited to see you. Same with your wife or your spouse. I know too many dudes that just as soon as they get home, they're on their damn games until it's time to go to bed, and that ain't fair to nobody. If they don't work, they've been cooking and cleaning and taking care of all the home stuff, and that's work by itself. They need attention too. So you're really going to have to learn how to piece out your time to where everybody gets a piece of you. Including yourself, because it's important to have some alone time. Just don't make the whole time at home be alone time. I know of a couple where the dude works and he works hard all day, but then goes home to completely ignore his wife and kids. And that's horseshit. Smoke weed for the rest of the night and play video games. Maybe once out of the week is fine, but every single damn day, that's horseshit. That's not even a family at that point. I think that guys that do that shit were just looking for a mom to take care of their ass. Because if you're going to be a man, you're going to go to work and you're going to go home and then you're going to try to help out the wife. And it's like, yeah, I work all day, but I also go and do the dishes and I help with the laundry. And it's not even help, that's part of my damn job. I dirty up dishes, I dirty up laundry, and my wife shouldn't have to take care of all that all the time. And with her working now, I've got no business leaving her a bunch of shit to do when she comes home from work. And on the other side of that, Don't be one of those guys that works all day and then his spouse don't do shit all day and then he's got to cook his own dinner. That's horseshit. You know you're in a good relationship if you're trying to take care of each other. That's the name of the damn game. Is my wife knows I'm tired when I get home, so she's not hitting me with a honey-do list just as soon as I hit the door. And at the same thing, it's like I don't expect my wife to tend on me hand and foot either. She always makes me a plate, but I'm like, I can make my own plate, but she does it to take care of me, and I appreciate it, and I let her know I appreciate it. I don't take her for granted. So I'm getting off track again. I'm bad as shit about that. Being lonely, for one, you're going to figure out who you are, and you need to learn to like yourself, because I'll say it a billion times, is if you don't like yourself, you ain't got no business having a relationship yet. What do you not like yourself about? And fix it. Fix what you can fix. There's some things you can't. But if you're like, I'm fat, well, work out. You've got to want it. If what makes you unhappy is your self-image, you're going to have to fix it. If you're overweight, you're going to have to go to the gym and fix that. And I know how easy it is to be like, well, food makes me feel good. And then you just get blobbier and blobbier, and you're just going to start self-loathing even worse. And ignore the things you can't fix. It's like I'm short. I'm always going to be short. Nothing I can do about it aside from wearing them uncomfortable elevator shoes. Forget all that. I would just as soon be comfortable. So if you think you're dumb, read some books. Try to learn a few things. Try to go to community college. Just anything that helps your self-esteem. Take some karate classes or just any kind of class. Try to further yourself. Make yourself a better person because all of our default settings is fat and dumb. It's up to us to fix that. It's super easy to be fat and dumb, but how hard is it to find a relationship when you're fat and dumb? It's not impossible, but you're going to find someone else that is also fat and dumb. And do you really want that? And I'm not trying to fat shame. It's just, aside from aesthetics, if you're overweight, you feel bad about yourself. There's a small few that's like, hey, I'm overweight, who gives a shit? And good for them. But it's the ones that are overweight and they feel bad about it, them's the ones that gotta work on that shit. And like I said, no fat shaming. If you got the self-esteem to where you're, 100 pounds overweight and you're like, man, I look good, man, that's half the battle. Good for you. But it's just if you're overweight and you feel like a big lump of shit, you're going to have to de-lump yourself or you're never going to feel good. But don't overdo it either and get all anorexic either. Moving right along, you're by yourself, you're trying to fix yourself. You're going to meet other people that are trying to fix themselves too. And brother, I can tell you this, you don't want to date anybody that's completely happy with yourself. They want more. They want to push for goals and accomplish things. If you see someone that's completely happy right where they're at, they better be already super smart and have a damn job because I've known people that are just completely happy being poor and blobby and sloppy. And, good for them if they can find a mate that's the exact same. But if you got goals and you want to accomplish things, definitely don't go dating for looks because, man, I was on this message board and one of the questions was, what is your own personal prejudice? And a lot of people was like, I don't like fat people or, I don't like this or that. And for the most part, they didn't get much shit handed to them. I put down that I would never date a woman that doesn't work, and man, it rained hellfire down upon your old buddy Jeremy. How dare you? You're a man. You're supposed to take care of all. It's like, you know what? Do you know what year this is? It's 2023 right now. It is very hard to get by on one income. The only reason me and my wife made it is because she's smart and she's frugal. It's like I married a 1950s housewife because if things get lean, she can food. We garden. We don't spend every damn dime we make on dumb shit. Me and her work as a team. But there's too many people, and dudes are just as guilty. I don't know how many girls I know that is the only income in the family to have their dickhead spouse just hang around the house all day. In my personal opinion, and I know different strokes for different folks, but if you're a man that just hangs around the house all day, in my personal opinion, you're not much of a damn man. You're a damn kid. You're a kid that married a person to be your fucking mom. and I think it's shameful as hell, and you really need to take a look at yourself and start manning the hell up. I don't expect you to be like no damn John Wayne misogynistic bravado shit, but you take care of your family. You know, different strokes and all that, like if she's like high up position, she's making a ton of money and she needs you to stay home to watch the kids. You know, that's one thing, but you better be like Johnny Testa's dad. You better be making that meatloaf every damn day watching the kids. Yeah, that's something I don't get about Johnny Testa's dad. So the wife works all day and he's a stay-at-home dad, but all the kids are school-aged. So what is he doing those 8 hours a day by himself? But anyway, that's just my own... I'm dumb and I'm not a professional in any sort of the sense of the word, so just ignore all that shit. But back when I was single, and I bitched and moaned and griped and complained about being single, during that time, you know, I was dabbling in music poorly, but I learned them and I got a lot of enjoyment out of it. And I did get to game and all that, but I got access to do all these neat things I wouldn't have got to do. I was like a roadie for a couple of bands. I got to travel. Not far, but just enough to take bands to wherever they were going. I kind of had the rock star lifestyle without even being in a band. And I was in a band briefly, but we never traveled. Matter of fact, I wouldn't even call it a band. We never got outside of my house, you know, my little trailer. I would play like backing guitar and the other guy would sing and all that stuff. And we did a couple of good songs, but we never did them in public, so... I wouldn't even say that was a band. We were just a couple of guys jamming in a trailer. But I'm glad I got to have that experience. And at the time, I had just gotten divorced. And before I divorced, I hadn't even gotten out of high school yet when I had gotten married the first time. So I'd never been to an actual party. Man, I partied like hell after the divorce. Because the every other weekend I didn't have my daughter, you know, I could go out and do whatever I wanted to. And so I got to kind of have the whole high school party experience, kind of. Had a couple of buddies that were bartenders, and I'd go bar hopping, and all the stuff I'd never got to do that I wouldn't do when I was married. I didn't have my first drink of alcohol till I was like 21, and that was not too long before we got divorced. Partying just wasn't something I... Well, okay, so I was a nerd in school, too, so I didn't get invited to any parties. Which was a blessing, honestly, because some of my friends got into dope and all that stuff, so some of them burnt themselves out early. I was a late bloomer, so by the time I started partying, I knew there was limits to everything. You know, you didn't need to drink and drive, and you didn't need to do coke and all that shit. So I was old enough to be like, hey, I got a kid, I can't get myself into no real trouble. And then, you know, I'd go home, sleep it off, go to work, and I really got to be myself... For the first time, because I'd always lived with somebody until I got divorced, because I went straight from living with mom and dad to living in an apartment, and I lived with that lady for 3 years, and up until the divorce, I'd never lived by myself, and I lived by myself for the most part for 8 years. I had one live-in fiance between that point, well, two counting my wife now. Because she lived with me for like a year or two before we got married. But up till that point, for about 8 years, I lived by myself and I loved it. Got to sleep on the couch. It took me forever to learn to not like sleeping on the couch. But I got to think. And it's okay to be bored sometimes, because being bored is what drives you to doing something to keep you entertained. And I dabbled in stuff. I started reading books, trying to find things that interested me. Because at the time, I worked as a janitor at a community college, and I hated my job there. As a matter of fact, that was hands down the worst job I ever had. And I farmed for a while. That was hard physical labor. But being a janitor took a toll on me, like, mentally. Nothing against janitors. It's just at the time I was in my early 20s, and I felt like a dipshit. Because I'm like, a lot of my school friends that wasn't burnouts was making it. You know, driving nice new vehicles and being a nice... houses, and I was living in a ratty trailer that my dad had to help me buy. As a matter of fact, he bought it. I couldn't even buy my own shitty trailer. My dad had to do it for me. And so I felt like a loser. I kind of was. And it took boredom to to kind of give me any kind of drive. Boredom is either going to drive you into depression that you just never get out of, or it drives you to motivate and try to pull yourself out of that damn mess. And that's what led me into having that first store, because I wanted to impress this lady I really liked. And I'm like, I'm a 20-something-year-old nothing. Damn janitor at a community college. You know, I ain't shit. And so I got a different job to where I made more money, saved up, got my t-shirt shop, and that looked impressive. And it got me a little somewhere. But what it did was help my self-esteem too, because at the point where I got that t-shirt shop, I was broke as shit because every single dime I made went to rent, and I was just a shitty businessman. So I had to get a job at the hospital as a janitor. But I was a janitor with some self-esteem, because like, I could be like, yeah, I'm doing this so I can help pay the rent on my store. You know, that changes the narrative, because people's like, oh, you got a store? And not to sound ugly, but having that store got me laid. Oh my gosh. That's where I met my wife at, was the store. So because of that, you know, I've been happily married for 14 years because, you know, I did something out of the ordinary that I couldn't have done with somebody. Matter of fact, my wife's the reason I got rid of that store, because I told her, I'm like, it's keeping me broke. Said, if we're going to be together, you know, I'm going to have to provide for you eventually, because if we ever get married, you know, this store ain't making me no money. Plus, the temptation of girls think that you got a shit ton of money if you got a store. And I'd never been broker in my life. But they just thought that was impressive as crap. And it seemed like I had a different girlfriend every other month. And I was just a little shithead too. I was like, you know what, I've been done dirty. It's time for me to be a little dirty birdie. And then by the time I met Kelly, she wasn't even the only girl I was dating at the time. I was dating a couple other girls. But I was honest with her about it. I'm like, hey, I'm not here for no long relationship. But she was a good person and she was good to me. And I'm like, well, damn, I'd be a dumbass if I didn't pick this one. And that's what I did. Got rid of the store when we started moving in together, because I was like, man, I don't want to be a cheater. And I was afraid that, you know, some chick would catch me weak and I would do something I'd regret and it would split up me and my wife. And I'm grateful, because I'm sure that would have happened.
Hey, everybody, this is Eric Russler. Please check out The Best Podcast with Eric Russler on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Playlists. You can just go to ercomedy.com and it'll take you straight to all of those platforms.
Hey, St. Louis Cardinals and Chicago Cubs fans. Listen to One Cardinals, One Cub and One Beer. Hosted by JJ Jackson and Vincent Opper on Spotify and YouTube.
I just ended up having a lot of fun being alone. It surprised me when I let my wife move in, because I swore up and down, what, no one ever living with me. I was just going to be a bachelor, raise my daughter. But I got a good one, and she made my life better. I swore up and down I'd never have another kid. I got two more kids now. Swore I'd never get married, end up getting married to her. Swore I'd never move out of Culin. Well, shit, we've moved three or four times since. Each time we've moved into a better place. I'd still be living in a ratty trailer. You have to get every damn pot and pan in the house every time it rained. So my wife has improved my life, and I've improved hers. She's told me a lot that it's hard for her to adjust having a man that does what he says he's going to do. You know, I provide for my family. I take care of the kids. I don't cheat on my wife. So my wife don't have to worry about me cheating on her. I sowed my wild oats. I did all the crazy horse shit when I was younger. And I don't miss those days no more. I like the stability. And I know it's kind of dangerous because I'm getting boring now. And women like a little excitement. But she's getting older too. And, you know, me and her's been together so long. I'm not paying for her childhood, and I'm not paying for her shitty ex-relationships, and she's not paying for my bad ex-marriage no more. You know, we know each other. She knows what to expect from me. I know what to expect from her, and that's because we lived our lives. You know, she lived alone for a while, and she dabbled and experimented with things, and I guess I did too in my own way, because I went from being a nerd in school to being at some major party every other weekend, thanks to my good buddy Wes and my cousin Mike. So, once I got divorced, and I've told you the story before, I'm sure, was I was still a damn nerd. I didn't know how to dress, and my cousin Mike, my buddy Shelly, and my friend Wes kind of took me under their wing and was like, dude, we're going to have to make you normal. And they did their damn best, because my nickname for the longest was Opie. Opie Taylor from the Andy Griffith Show. And I did, I kind of lived up to that part. But I had these popular guys that took me under their wing. And hell, they helped me out a lot. I'm grateful for those fellas. My life is better now because of those three guys just kind of adopting me and being like, man, we gotta change your nerdy ass ways, or you're not going to have a very good life. And I hope maybe I taught them a little something too, because I was the one, they would make fun of me because if things got too out of hand at the parties or just doing crazy shit, I'd say, guys, you know, I've got a daughter I could lose. And they'd always say, ooh, I got a daughter to lose. And they would kind of fun me about it. But my daughter kept me in check because I'm like, I've got boundaries, guys. There's a line in the sand I ain't going to cross for my daughter's sake. And once they had kids of their own, I had a couple of them say, man, sorry for giving you shit back then. I understand now. So I hope maybe we taught each other something like, they taught me it's okay to not be nerdy and a gentleman all the time. There's a time to be kind of edgy. And I'm hoping I taught them like, hey, you know, you also got to take care of your business. One of my buddies, Wes, he's successful. He has done very well for himself. And I'm like, man, that's awesome, because this dude was like a party animal. He was wild as shit. Just the fact that, you know, he's wildly successful. I'm like, man, you know, good on you. He knew how to have a good time, but he also knew when to take things serious and buckle down. And hell, he's living in a nice house, nice vehicles. You know, he's got a nice life. And I seen him go from apartment to apartment, living in his mom's basement, to, you know, he's got his own business, his own really nice house. And it's like, man, that's awesome. And it's like, me, I'm content. I'm content enough to be like, I don't have a bad life. I've got it good. But I'm not doing so good that I'm bored, because I'm at the point financially to where it's, I'm like, you know, I'd like a little nicer house. And, you know, I'm cool with that because I got a goal to go towards, but I'm happy where I'm at right now. If I stay in my house now for the rest of my life, I'm doing good. I made it. The house I live in now is nicer than anything I've ever lived in. Me and the wife were just having a conversation talking about, I don't see why people cheat on people, because like me and the wife, she's one of the very few people on earth right now that I could have a conversation about my dad. My wife was around when dad was healthy and then all the way up to him dying. We have shared stories that we got together. And I can't have that with a brand new girlfriend. If I dated someone today, they wouldn't know jack shit about my dad. They'll never know him. They would barely know my mom, my ups and downs when I was younger. You know, why would you build up all these memories just to piss them right out the door because you want to get some strange? You know, it's stupid. We're all going to get old and saggy and baggy. And that person you left your wife for is not going to be pretty forever. And you're not going to be pretty forever. You're going to get saggy balls and big old case of the frog ass and just look like shit. So people that cheat on people that will date someone that's married, pretty good chance they're going to cheat on you, because they don't give a shit about marriage. It's like if I see an attractive woman now, I'm like, oh, that's a pretty lady. I'm not thinking about borking her. Because I'm like, man, you know, I've got mine. I'm happy. And if I was single, I would hope that if that woman was married, that I'd be like, hey, she's got somebody. She's happy. Why mess that up? I don't get it. Cheating is the worst thing you can do to someone. I don't believe in polygamy or polyamory. I think it's horseshit. Now, that being said, polyamory might be fine when you're in your 20s and you're not married. And I know I'm old-fashioned, I might be full of shit, but I think that if you're married or with somebody, it's a one-on-one situation. I don't even like having a bunch of friends at once. I just want to be able to focus my attention on one person, give them all I got to give, I just don't see how you could have a good, loving, caring relationship when you got a bunch of people in it. Oh, well, I just got me and these two chicks. Nah, okay. It probably ain't working like you think it is. Because 9 times out of 10, I guarantee someone is like, well, I'd just rather be with just this person or whatever. It's, I know people are just screeching to the sky right now, like, polyamory is totally a legitimate thing. It, maybe for you it is. In my eyes, I'm never going to think that it's worth two shits. I would think, like, if I was dating somebody or married to somebody and they said, hey, let's be in a polyamorous relationship, for me, that relationship just died. Because if I'm not enough for them, or they're not enough for me, we're in the wrong damn relationship. And I try to word things on this podcast not to offend nobody. But you know what? There ain't no way to not offend nobody. You can offend people by trying not to offend people. There just ain't no pleasing everybody. And your beliefs are your beliefs, and my beliefs are my beliefs. And that's just the way it goes. I like to be good about if there's something I don't believe in, that I not be too shitty about it. But also expect the same. Now, being that this is my podcast that hardly no one listens to, I can say pretty much whatever I want. Though, there are consequences to your words. It's like these guys getting canceled for shit they tweeted or texted or said 20, 30 years ago. Your words carry a lot of weight, and they can either make you do good or they can sink you like a damn ship. And so you should choose your words carefully. And always say what you mean and mean what you say. Because I can't, in the future, be like, oh yeah, polyamory is totally legitimate. Well, 2023 Germany thinks it's a crock of shit. If you introduce other people into your relationship, it's not a relationship, it's just a freaking swingers party. But anyway, I know this has nothing at all to do with being alone. I just kind of talk about what I want to talk about. And I hope it's doing someone out there some sort of good. But anyway, it's just being alone ain't terrible. You don't want to be alone forever. But while you're alone, use it. Use it to benefit you. Just don't be a damn blob on a couch. Further your education. Learn a skill. Work out. Be interesting. I tell you what. Guys, especially, you don't have to be good looking as long as you're interesting. Like, you know how girls like bad boys? It's because they got some drama going on. They're interesting. They may not be good people, but by shits, it ain't boring around them. And us guys do the same thing. Several girls I dated were too damn wild for me, but I thought it was exciting. So as long as you can be interesting, it's like even, I'm getting old now, I'm damn near elderly. Or, well, at least according to 20-year-olds, I'm old as shit. You know, I try to do the comedy stuff, and went to be an extra on a movie. You know, those are stories I've got. Since I don't party no more, I need something to be able to tell a good story about my work, you know. Working at the hospital gets pretty exciting, and I got some wild-ass stories from work. One of the things that me and my wife talks about all the time is her childhood, because she had a pretty rough childhood, but it was interesting because she went through some stuff. And it's interesting to me because I had an excellent childhood. She likes hearing about my childhood because she's like, man, I can't imagine that. And same with her. It's like, you know, she started doing weed when she was like 12. And I'm just like, damn, that blows my mind. We've always been able to carry a good conversation. If you can just find someone you can talk to and enjoy talking to. Because I can tell you right now, it's not all about sex. Sex, a lot of that is when you're younger. And I think I'm probably going to try to have like a sex episode soon. I just want to do it right. And I don't want it to be all raunchy. Because I'm a damn potty mouth. I love to tell dirty jokes, even though I wish I didn't. But it's like, it ain't going to benefit nobody. But anyway, I don't know where I'm going. My damn memory sucks. But damn near be like a monk for a little while. You know, self-meditate. Try things that you may not even want to try just to say you tried it. You know, try taking up painting. But try things before you're in a big relationship, because once you're in a steady relationship, your time is just out the door. And I also want you to think about everything a relationship entails too. So what no one ever told me that I had to figure out for myself is when you're in a relationship, it's not that you're not free, but it's a different kind of freedom. It's like, if you have a wife and kids, you are chained to having a job for the rest of your life, because your job is to provide for your family. There goes all the traveling and the partying. That's why I encourage you to get that stuff done when you're young. You know, it ain't gonna hurt a thing for you to party from 18 to 28. Get those years in, travel, do some stuff you want to do, get your college in. Because once you're settled down and married, not only is trying to finish college hard, but you have to have a job, because you're going to have to provide food and housing and all the stuff. And you don't think about that stuff. When you're first going into a relationship, you're like, oh, that person's pretty and I want to stick my gooby in her so bad. But what you're not thinking about is, hey, if something happens and we have a kid together, boom, instant family. Now we got to talk about housing and food and providing and clothes, everything that goes along with all of that. And if you're trying to be a decent person, you're trying to be with that person the rest of your life. So don't throw away your younger years being able to figure yourself out to have like an instant family right off the bat. Because that's what I did. That's what my daughter did. It's just like there ain't no harm in being selfish for the next, you know, 10 years at least. You get out of high school and you be the selfishest little brat you can be, because you're never going to have that chance again. Man, I hope this gets to somebody that can use it. I would have loved to have that conversation when I was 18. Because when I met my first wife, I was just head over heels. I'm like, this is the person I want to be for the rest of my life. And I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. You don't know jack shit until you're in your late 20s, and even then, that's iffy. You've got the rest of your life to have a family. And once you have kids, you got them for the rest of your life. There's no backsies. I just want to stress, because you spend the next 10 years and you're like, this is all I want to do for the rest of my life is this. You know, at least you know. And you can always change your mind later. Hell, Bill Burr didn't have a family until his 40s, I think, or late 30s. He's pretty new dad in his 40s or 50s. You know, so it's, I'm not saying it's never too late to start a family, but it's later than what you think it would be. Kids having kids when they're 16 and 14, it's just like, damn. I'm not saying you're throwing your life away, but you sure are making it harder. I think girls in particular need to learn how to live by themselves. I believe my ex has never, I don't believe she's ever lived by herself. And she didn't like it when she did, I don't believe. And I think she could have done a lot of self-reflection. A lot of ladies want to stick themselves to a man, but they need to learn how to be self-sufficient too. My wife, she lived all by herself when me and her met. She didn't have kids. She lived by herself. She really liked living by herself too. It's just crazy that we ended up, two people that love to live by themselves end up living together. Life is crazy. And I will say too, like, if you're listening to this and you've already gotten a relationship and you're like, yeah, I miss being by myself and all that, you learn to adjust. I think half of life is just learning how to adjust. I didn't think I'd ever adjust to living outside of Culin, Missouri. And now I'm living in the suburbs and I thought I'd hate it. And at first I did, because I hate change. But I adjusted. I like where I live now. It's home to me now. I learned the home ain't a location. It's your family. Wherever my family's at, that's where my home is. If we ended up in New York City and I'm like, this sucks, at least I got my family with me. So just, I don't know, think thoughts, think deep thoughts. And it's hard to do that when you're with someone 24/7. So y'all go ahead and get off here now. Y'all take care. I hope this is doing y'all some bit of good. Sorry, it's like months at a time before I hop back on here, but luckily I'm on my own boss, and I might not never pick this mic up again, or I might put another episode out tomorrow. You never know. So y'all take care. Y'all have a good one. Bye-bye.
DMDR is written and produced by Jeremy Connor and Hungry Purple Kittens Productions.